in the opening verses of Philippians chapter 4, we find these words. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. May I borrow but broaden the term used in Philippians 4:3 by using as our subject this morning workers who labored with us in the gospel. I think of missionaries not only as one of the finest groups in the world, but as singularly fortunate people who, by virtue of their service among people of other places and races, are able to see the world from a broader perspective than most. Some of our workers retain their narrowness and prejudice, but many, like the little lady up for appointment for foreign service, deserve the psychiatrist's admiring accolade, her heart is in the sky, but her feet are on the ground. Let me tell you first about a church builder and his devoted wife, Julius Carlisle Powell and Rosa Hocus Powell, who live at Warsaw, North Carolina. He is now 82 and for years has been bedridden with Parkinson's disease. His wife and his daughter, who is a nurse, have given him such care as few have ever received. When Carlisle and Rosa met at boarding school down in Sampson County, he was so excited that he jumped over the fence and let out a cornfield yell, much to the disgust of the rather prim preacher's daughter. The two young people enrolled in college the same year. He here at Wake Forest and she at Meredith. There was now an occasional exchange of postcards. Travel between the colleges was mainly by train. Dr. Hubert Petit once told me that Powell tried to hook a ride on a freight train to Raleigh to visit Rosa, but was caught and put off. Undaunted, he flung his shoes over his shoulder and set out for Meredith. When he finally arrived, a friend asked, Powell, where have you been? Replied the hot, dusty Powell, I've been a-coming. Powell was a star athlete for Wake Forest, becoming one of the most famous tackles in the history of the football team. In addition, Sky, as he was now called, was an excellent track man, who specialized in the 440-yard low hurdle. He once told me of attending a track meet involving the Big Four. An injured knee caused the coach to scratch Powell's name from that meet. But as his event drew near with Wake Forest neck and neck with North Carolina State, he jerked off the bandage, insisted on running, and came in second to win several points for his school. When he was on his first furlough from Nigeria, he learned that he had another year of football eligibility. So he enrolled again, ostensibly to work for a master's degree, but mainly to play football for Old Wake. The splendid strength that Sky Powell developed on the farm and on the playing fields, he gave unstintedly to itineration and preaching of the gospel on the mission field for the next 36 years. He rounded out his years as lecturer in our language and orientation school. Repeatedly, our younger missionaries have paid tribute to him and Mrs. Powell for the sympathy and understanding given them as they faced a new language, a new culture, and a new people. Once I traveled with Powell over much of his field and was greatly impressed by the attractive, well-built and beautifully painted churches of what was supposed to be a rather backward area. said tower path with my own hands. I've helped to build 25 of these 26 churches in this area, and I helped plan the 26th. It is not strange that as part of their independence celebration in 1960, the Nigerian people provided round-trip tickets for the power in order that they might participate in the happy activities of that occasion. The Nigerian mission, like the church at Philippi, owes a peculiar debt of gratitude to Our Lady missionaries, who, though for many years not counted as missionaries, not only made homes for, but loyally stood by their husbands and did 1,000 jobs their husbands would never have done, such as working with children and women, teaching school, and nursing the sick. Probably the most heroic of those was Lorena Bowen, wife of our pioneer to Nigeria, who, in addition to caring for her sick and crotchety husband, still found time to plant and nurture both day and Sunday schools wherever they went. In her diary, started on the day of her marriage, she told of the planting of our educational work as follows. Today took a Yoruba girl named Moshibi to teach her reading and sewing. It shall be my delight to teach her. This was dated January 2nd, 1854. In 1858, R.W. Priest, writing from Nigeria to the Foreign Mission Board, said, "The Foreign Mission Board should never send a single man to work among the heathen. Though women may be afraid of mice and insects, there is more unyielding perseverance in the heart of a woman than in any giant of a man. This accounts for the fact that there are more than twice as many graves as of the Baptist women missionaries in Nigeria as of men." When Mrs. Patterson and I arrived in Abeokuta in July 1915, in July 1925, we found 5 lady missionaries there, with 3 of whom we were privileged to serve for nearly 40 years, May Perry, Neil Young, and Susan Anderson. No greater 3 ever lived and worked together in the same station. Of the Baptist Girls' School where they worked, a high British education officer was heard to remark, "This school has probably done more to uplift the women and girls of Nigeria than any other school in the land." Susan Anderson passed on to her reward in 1967. In addition to her influence on the lives of hundreds of girls, she left a book, So This Is Africa, one of the most popular mission study books ever published by our board. May Perry, quiet, unassuming little lady, is in a rest home in Georgia and now in her 82nd year. 12 years ago, she was auditing classes here at Southeastern Seminary when she was called to Washington to be presented an honorary award by Queen Elizabeth II. Miss Perry was one of 39 Americans personally decorated by the Queen during her visit with the Duke of Edinburgh to the USA. The third member of this remarkable trio, Miss Neil Young, was laid to rest 6 weeks ago at Florence, South Carolina, in her 81st year. During her 40 years in Africa, she had probably visited more churches and attended more meetings than any other missionary in the history of our African work. Though her broad interest encompassed all phases of our work, her greatest contribution was through the WMU, which she led for 40 years. She had rare administrative gifts which enabled her to plan and project through others. Many years ago, she ceased presiding over convention meetings, insisting that the African women ought to do this. In this way, she was able to train Mrs. J.T. Iorandi and others who have now become world Baptist leaders. In her early years in Africa, Miss Young often traveled on native buses, in canoes, and on foot, sometimes walking 20 miles a day. Once she came to a stream and found that the ferry boat was simply a huge gourd. She was so amused at her plight as a powerful African swimmer propelled her and her boat across the stream in front of him that she fell to laughing and forgot her weariness. On one of her trips, she broke an ankle and was rushed to our hospital in a bombshell. Later, she was sent to Johns Hopkins, where the ankle was reset. She had trouble with that foot for the rest of her days, but continued to travel and to labor. Among the many achievements of the women and young people of Nigeria under Miss Young's leadership, one might mention their remarkable giving, which often put the men to shame. They were taught to tithe, to read their Bibles, to witness to their pagan neighbors. During one of the early literacy campaigns, they taught more than 10,000 how to read their Bibles. They inaugurated a scholarship campaign for the better preparation of our convention leaders. A few years before her retirement, Miss Young was approached about two great honors. The British authorities asked her if she would accept an award in acknowledgement of her outstanding work among the women of Nigeria. About the same time, the King of Edo and his chiefs, where she was located, asked that she become the Iyalodi of Edo, or the chieftainess of all the Christian women of that area. To the British officer, she replied, much as did the great woman of Shunem, when it was suggested by the prophet Elijah that he speak to the king on her behalf. Said she, in effect, "I dwell among my own people." But to the delight of her many African friends, she did become the Iyalodi of the Christians of Edo. Miss Young, at the age of 70, retired from Nigeria. The 10 years that followed were busy, happy ones for her, and included 2 trips back to Africa to visit her friends. Several years ago, her health began to fail, but she continued to travel and speak in behalf of missions. As the Lottie Moon season of 1971 drew near, she requested that we lend her our African drone. A close friend at the Bethay home where she now lived had been asked to teach new drums over Africa to many of the neighboring churches. And she wanted Miss Young to introduce the study each time by dressing in her prettiest Nigerian costume and beating the drum. Though she confessed to us that she felt very much like a fool, she performed this simple task repeatedly. She was stricken on Thanksgiving Day and passed away on December 15th. She literally went out beating the drums for Christ and Africa. But for the brevity of time, I should like to tell of some of the other missionaries and associates, both black and white, who have labored so effectively to bring our work to its present state. We've seen our fields in Africa since we first arrived in 1925 grow from 1 to 22. Our missionaries from 24 to more than 600. Our churches from 300 to 3,000. Our membership from around 10,000 to 145,000. We barely touch the hem of Africa's need, much less the need of the world. This is no time to turn back from this great cause. Dr. Stephen Neal, an ex-missionary and one of the world's greatest present-day authorities on missions, has recently said that the Christian church is more deeply involved in missions today than in any other period of history. I like the way Dr. J.E.K. Agri, great son of Africa, has described missions. "It is the method by which," says he, "all nations of the earth are enabled to bring their richest gifts and lay them at the Master's feet. Let the man of the East bring his beauty and form and ceremony and lay these at the Master's feet, but these will not be enough. Then let the man of the West bring his factories, his skyscrapers, and his scientific skills. But these two will not be enough. Then let our black people come with their music and their song, with their warmth and friendship and love, and lay these at the master's feet. Then the offering will be complete. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord.